Good afternoon, and welcome to the presentation of Gamesa's results for the first semester 2016. In this call, we have Ignacio Martín, who is our Executive Chairman, Xavier Echevarría, who's our Executive Director General, and Ignacio Hurtado, who's our CFO. Presentation will be in Spanish, and there will be simultaneous interpreting into English. The questions will be emailed into our investor relations mailbox. For any specific questions about the Siemens business, because of legal constraints, we will not be able to answer those, and so it's best if you send us those specific questions. You don't send us those questions about Siemens. We will answer questions about the transaction, however. With that, I'll give the floor to Xavier Echevarría.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone. The highlights of this period can be summed up by saying that Gamesa maintains its commercial strength and profitable growth as it moves forward with its strategy for 2017 and beyond. Our competitive position is focused on growth, with record order intake in the second quarter of this year of 1.2 gigawatts, which is 16% higher year-on-year. Thus, coverage of the low end of the sales guidance we had issued for 2016 in February of over 3,800 megawatts equivalent has been over 100% covered. Our management is still focused on value creation. Our ROCE is at 22%. Through growth, since in the first semester of the year, our sales reached 2.19 billion euros. That's 33% higher than the previous year. Our EBIT is at 230 million euros, which is 70% up year-on-year, and our EBIT margin is at 10.5%. Our net profit, always using the pre-Advent figures, as we will see later, is 151 million euros with a 76% year-on-year increase. We've had focused investment with very strict control of working capital and CapEx. In this way, working capital in the period is down 146 million with respect to the previous year, from 275 million we had a year ago to 129 million euros in working capital at the end of the first semester of this year, which means that working capital over sales a year ago was 8.5%, and now that's down to 3.2% with an improvement of 5.3 percentage points. Our CapEx in the period has increased by 30 million euros in a year-on-year. Our balance sheet is still sound, with net cash at the end of June 2016 of 287 million euros. Our performance in this first semester, way ahead of our guidance, means that we are upgrading our guidance for 2016 with volume greater or equal to 4,000 megawatts equivalent, with an underlying EBIT of over 430 million euros, and with our margin at or over 9.5%. It also has been a significant highlight in this period, our announcement of the agreement to merge with Siemens Wind Power to create a global leader in the wind power industry. As I was saying, our competitive position at Gamesa is focused on growth. In this context, in this period, we have had a record order intake in the first semester of 2016. In the second quarter, we had new orders for 1,118 megawatts, which is 16% higher in the year-on-year. In the last 12 months, we've had 4,259 megawatts in new orders, which is 100% of the coverage of the low end of our February volume guidance for 2016. In numbers, our commercial strength can be summed up as follows. In the first semester of this year, new order inflow was 2,111 megawatts, which is 21% higher in the year. The orders coming in the last 12 months add up to 4,259 megawatts, which is 11% higher than in the previous year, with an order backlog to sales in the period, or a book-to-bill ratio of 1.1 times. Our backlog in June was at 3,228 megawatts, or in other words, 13% higher than the previous year. This commercial strength means great visibility of our pipeline. As we have said, we've already exceeded the low end of our guidance for the year in February 2016. This commercial strength and high visibility of our pipeline is in line with our new forecast for activity for at or over 4,000 megawatts equivalent. This new order inflow is strongly diversified geographically. In fact, new orders help to maintain Gamesa's leadership in emerging markets and grow in mature markets, and mature markets contributing 37% of the total new order inflow. As for the new products that Gamesa has launched, both the G114 2.0 and the G114 2.5 megawatts represent 55% of new orders in the first semester 2016. Also, as well as having a record order intake, we've also had record sales in the period. Group sales in this period, in the first semester of 2016, were 2.92 billion euros, which is 33% higher than the previous year. In the second quarter alone, we sold 1,127 million euros, which is 36% higher than the previous year. These group sales, or this increase in the group sales, is driven by the strong growth of sales of WTGs. Specifically, for WTGs in the first semester, our sales were 1,964 million euros, which is 38% higher than the previous year. These WTG sales are driven by a very significant increase in the activity in megawatts equivalent for the first semester of 2,180 megawatts equivalent, or in other words, that's 47% higher than the results of the previous year. This record volume in the first semester of 2016 means that we are upgrading our guidance for the year to on or over 4,000 megawatts equivalent, which is 5 percentage points more annual growth with respect to the guidance we issued in February 2016, and 26% than the volumes of 2015. All of this growth of our volumes and activity in the period has occurred while strictly controlling our structural costs. We continue to focus on operating break-even, constantly reducing our structural expenses over sales ratio, 1 percentage point year-on-year, down to 7.5%. Just to give you a bit of context for this number, 2 years ago, our structural expense to sales ratio was at 9.7%, and currently it is at 7.5%, which is a 2.2 percentage point improvement, and we're already in this period at the ratio target that we had set in the 2015-2016 business plan, which was to be below 8%. All of this has helped to improve our profitability in terms of our net profit and operating margins. Our EBIT, excluding the Adwel impact, is, as we've said, 230 million euros. That's 70% higher than the previous year, and with an EBIT margin of 10.5%, or 2.3 percentage points higher than a year ago. Also, the trend in net profit was extremely positive, with record numbers, 151 million euros net profit, which is 76% higher than the previous year. The pillars are always the same: growing revenues, growing sales, strict control of structural expenses, and ongoing optimization of variable costs. This performance in our EBIT and net profit above our forecast means that we're also upgrading our EBIT guidance for 2016. In this case, the new guidance will be an EBIT of equal or greater than 430 million euros and an EBIT margin of over 9.5%. Gamesa still maintains all of its balance sheet commitments in a context of strong growth. We continue to focus on cash flow generation. We've generated net free cash flow in the last 12 months, $90 million higher than the free net cash flow generated in the first semester of 2015. Our net cash position at the end of this period is of $287 million. It was $39 million a year ago. Our fundamentals, our pillars to drive this free cash flow generation are improved operational margins. We continue to generate gross operating cash flow up to $222 million in the first semester and $377 million in the last 12 months. We maintain strict control of working capital. We've reduced working capital very significantly by $146 million in the first semester, year on year, going from $275 million working capital in the first semester of last year to €129 million in this semester through our project management tools linked to cash flow, as well as through the Energia business model without recourse to the balance sheet. We're still investing strongly, but it's focused and modular, always in order to open up capacity and introduce new products. In the last 6 months, Gamesa has invested €85 million, and in the last 12 months, €197 million. And everything we've been discussing enables us to accelerate shareholder value creation. Return on capital employed is at 22%, or over 9 percentage points higher than exactly a year ago. The pillars that have enabled us to accelerate shareholder value creation are profitable growth, as we've seen, through competitive positioning, programs to continuously optimize variable costs and quality, as well as control of structural costs, and the strength of our balance sheet, as we have seen by controlling our working capital and modular capex focused on assuring expected profitable growth and cash flow generation both in the high and the low end of the cycle. And finally, and to complete this section, I'd like to share with you the workplace health and safety indexes, which also have exceeded the targets we had set in the business plan for 2015 and 16, which demonstrate the company's commitment to workplace health and safety. Our frequency index is at 0.68 and our severity index at 0.02, which are also record indexes for this company in terms of workplace health and safety. Thank you very much, Xavier. We are now going to move on to the second part of the presentation, results and KPIs for the first semester of the year. As for the key figures for the group, you can see that in this 6 months our revenues were of €2.19 billion, that's 33% higher than the previous year, with 2,118 megawatts, that's 47% higher, an underlying EBIT of €230 million, that's 70% higher than the EBIT of the previous year, and a recurring net profit of €151 million, which is 76% higher than the previous year. Our reported P&L, excluding the ADWEN consolidation, show an EBIT of exactly the same number, because the ADWEN consolidation doesn't impact our EBIT, stays at €230 million. And net profit, the ADWEN consolidation brings down net profit by €13.5 million, and so net reported profit is of €138 million. As far as the balance sheet, our working capital has come down to €129 million. That's down €146 million with respect to the previous year, this date, and that's 3.2% over revenues, which is 5.3 percentage points lower than the previous year, with net cash at €287 million. If we look now at the activity of our different segments. In WTGs, again, we've had a record quarter with 11 consecutive double-digit growth quarters. This growth in activity is in line with our new activity forecasts we've issued for 2016 to be at or over 4,000 megawatts equivalent. We expect the second half of the year 2016 to be slightly slower than the first semester of the year. As for our ASP, which is our mean sales price, you can see that is in line with the forecast for the year, with assembly activity growing in the second semester of the year. It's important to point out two things here. One, that the trend in ASP is not indicative of the level or trend of the profitability of the company. Second, that you have to remember how we calculate ASP. We calculate our ASP by looking at WTG sales revenue divided by megawatts manufactured. I want to underscore this term manufactured because of the assembly, which we'll discuss in a minute. The trend, as we see in ASP in the semester, our average ASP goes down versus the first semester last year. In this particular quarter, it goes down from 0.93 to 0.90. That's a 3.03% fall. This is due to a currency impact. Consolidation of currencies last year meant that our mean price this year goes down 7.7% in the semester. Then we have the scope of activity because our ratio of assembly means that there's also a fall in the ASP because there has been less assembly in the first semester. This also happened in the first quarter last year. Our assembly ratio is at 0.54, which means we've assembled 50% of the megawatts we've manufactured. Last year, we assembled 100% of the megawatts we'd manufactured. This will turn around in the second semester of the year. In the second semester, we will match this assembly to manufacturing ratio. On the other hand, there's some negative effects which offset these other effects, including the new product launches, the G114 2 megawatts, solar towers, et cetera, which mean that our ASP in the end only falls 3% in the quarter. Continuing with WTG activity, you can see that we've maintained our geographical diversification and also diversification by customer type. As you can see, the geographic mix is 22% Europe, 14% the U.S., APAC, which is essentially China, 6% of our sales. This should recover in the second semester, and China will grow with respect to the first semester. India was 30%, and Latin America was 29%. The breakdown by customer type, you can see that we have IPPs 49%, 41% utilities, and we maintain a high percentage of diversification by customer type, with approximately 12% being our biggest client just right now. As for the profit of the WTG unit, our EBIT was 199 million when it was 107 last year. That's 1.9 times higher. We continue with this profitability improvement, which is based on our control of fixed costs, as Javier explained in more detail earlier, as well as on one of the basic elements of our management strategy, which is the continuous improvement of variable costs, which enable us to offset pressures on margins and on costs due to growth and the launch of new products. In the operation and maintenance division, you can see that revenues are growing, up 2% in O&M in this semester, 4% in the second quarter, with 228 million euros in revenues in this semester and 120 million in this quarter, with our EBIT at 31 million euros, which is 8.9% higher than the first semester of last year. We continue to see signs of recovery of the fleet and the maintenance, which make us optimistic about the future. And we think that the division will obtain results in line with the business plan 2015-2017, with revenues growing from O&M by 20% with respect to 2014. Management plan for O&M still very focused on offsetting pressure on prices and contract scope with our clients, particularly in mature markets, in order to ensure profitable growth. And we have launched cost-cutting programs. We have various initiatives underway to introduce value-added products like energy thrust to capture longer-term contracts, particularly in emerging markets. If we look at the EBIT for the consolidated group, and if we look at our EBIT margin, you can see that the EBIT in the first semester was 8.2% last year, and in this first semester it's 10.5%. This improvement in our EBIT margin is due to higher volumes, continuous improvement of variable costs, and also more favorable project scope, which has enabled us to improve the EBIT in this first semester. We've also had some negative effects, essentially due to the negative impact of the exchange rate, which has lowered our EBIT by 20 basis points, but especially due to higher fixed costs, particularly in D&A, which is needed in order to grow. If we look at working capital, you can see that we're consolidating the improvement in working capital with record levels of activity. We've reduced our working capital to 3.2% over revenues in this semester, down 146 million euros, whilst growing our volumes very significantly with almost 4,000 megawatts equivalent. What's very important for us is also to see the reduction of mean working capital. You can see that in 2013, mean working capital was 21%. It's now down to about 3%, our mean working capital, which is an 18 percentage point reduction in mean working capital, which, given that we've doubled the size of the group in the period from 2,000 megawatts to about 4,000 megawatts in volume, in free working capital for the group, this would be approximately 800 or 900 million euros in working capital that's been freed up and not invested, and therefore we improve our return on invested capital, which, as you know, is a crucial parameter for us. Finally, if we look at our net debt, you can see that we finished the semester with net debt cash at 287 million euros. A year ago, we had 39 million euros in net cash. 2 years ago, it was 549 million euros. One of the main priorities for our management, and thus we've been able to enable our debt and have a net cash position in the year with 356 million euros of net cash generation in the last 12 months, 271 million euros, and thanks to this major free cash flow generation due to our growing profitability, controlled working capital, and also controlling our investments. With that, I'm going to give the floor to Ignacio so he can talk about outlook. Okay, thank you very much, Nacho. I'm going to try and be as brief as possible because I understand that there are quite a lot of questions coming in, and that'll probably be more interesting for all of you. But I'd just like to point out that our outlook is optimistic after the meeting of the COP21 in Paris last December. It's obvious that the concern over climate change is increasing, and therefore the outlook for wind energy, essentially because of its growing competitiveness, is very significant. We're not seeing, as we've seen in previous presentations, huge growth rates. We're seeing single-digit growth short-term, but in terms of that growth, it is continuous, it is constant, and medium and long term, the demand for renewable energies in general and wind energy in particular is extremely significant. In terms of geographies, what we're also seeing is that growth in emerging markets, discounting the effect of China, will, over the next few years, be at close to 10%. Xavier, in his opening remarks, spoke about upgrading our guidance for 2016. This is essentially due to the strong order inflow we've had last year and in the first half of the year, with very significant volumes of growth you've already heard in the first semester. In spite of this seasonal effect we always have for the second semester, we trust we'll be able to exceed the 3,800 megawatts we predicted and be at over 4,000 megawatts, with a corresponding impact on our EBIT, which will rise from 400 million, which was our initial guidance, to 430 million, which is our current guidance, with our EBIT margin at around 9.5%. In line with what are generally our expectations for this sector, in bad years to be at around 8% and in good years to be at around 10%, and that is what we're seeing again this year. As far as the rest of the guidance we issued for the year, that is working capital over revenues, CapEx, return on invested capital, we maintain the guidance that we had issued. Plus, also for the future, that is after 2017, what we expect, driven by the growth we've mentioned, is a strengthening of our commercial position with significant growth. Without wanting to give any guidance that long term, we see no reason why this company would not continue to grow beyond 2017. As you all know, we announced last June 17th or 18th, a merger agreement with Siemens wind power assets. In fact, that's something that we're already working on, of course, as you will expect. The strategic rationale we have explained to a good number of our investors, and we feel that it's been very well received. Having two highly complementary platforms in terms of their footprint, their customer types, products, and their operational management capabilities is something that makes us feel that the goals we have, which are to continue to offer ever better service to our customers by improving the cost of energy, and based essentially on installed megawatt capacity, which is extremely large, and a backlog, which is also very solid for the next years. Again, it's something that makes us feel confident that we'll be able to continue to serve our customers better and better. Not just that, but all the other stakeholders. That is, we will have more significant growth than we've had until now. We'll be able to reduce risks because of higher diversification than we've had up to now. We'll also be able to work together with our suppliers, our current suppliers, as well as other potential future suppliers, who will also be able to grow side by side with us. In general, as I said, I think this is a transaction which has been very well received, and all of the stakeholders around the company have really great expectations that this will benefit them, and all of it with the support of our reference shareholders. Obviously, Siemens is not just going to be our shareholder, but also a strategic partner with whom Gamesa will be able to access an excellent technology platform as well as other commercial capabilities that will contribute to our development. Our current reference shareholder, holding over 19% of our equity, Iberdrola, has always believed in us, has decided to stay on board for this next phase in the company's development and in the company's industrial project. All of this in a context which, as you've heard, is not going to be an easy one. It's a context in which there is growth, but it is an increasingly competitive environment because our peers are growing as we are, and also because, for example, other renewable energy sources like solar are also improving their competitiveness. For the future, we will need to continue to reduce the cost of energy as an absolutely essential competitive aspect. We gave the details of the merger at the time. No change. We're just moving forward. We're currently preparing all the documentation in order to file all of this document so we can call for a general shareholders meeting when the time comes. We're moving forward in order to establish a company which will be a global leader, which will continue to be listed in Spain and with its headquarters in Zamudio. Finally, in conclusion, let me just refer to our history. Can't resist. Since I've been chairman of this company, Gamesa changed its guidance just once, because what we did in February was not to change our guidance, we just updated it. We'd given an interval between 3.5 and 3.8, and we went to the higher end of that interval. But under my leadership, there was another change of guidance in this company, and that was exactly 4 years ago today. Well, maybe not exactly today, but when we presented the results for the first semester of 2012. Where there was a change of guidance to say that instead of earning the 2,600 megawatts, I think we were going to sell then, it was only going to be 2,000 megawatts. And the profit we had predicted, we had to revise it downwards before financial and taxes of around zero. Now, however, we've done something completely different, which is to upgrade the guidance, because we now have a company that is growing. We've more than doubled our volume. We've gone from the almost 2,000 megawatts in 2000 to the 4,000, which is our current guidance, from an EBIT, which we said was going to be zero then, to an EBIT, which we're now predicting will be of over 430 million euros. And all of that driven by very clear business strategy, which we disclosed to the markets in October 2012, and with a very clear management strategy, and all of it supported, as I've always said, by a top-class management team, which has really been behind the transformation that this sector has experienced in these 4 years. And so I think that's the summary of what we've been doing, and now we are ready to answer your questions. Thank you very much, Ignacio. We're now going to move to the questions that have been coming in via email. Let's start with questions from José Manuel Arroyas from Exane. These are three questions. The first for Xavier Echevarria. Options in Brazil and Mexico in the second half of the year. They'd like to know whether we can share our views on the volumes that will be awarded in those auctions in both countries, and what Gamesa's possibilities are within those volumes. Right, as for the auction in Brazil, I think just a few days ago the new dates were posted for the wind and the solar auctions. The new dates are almost the end of the year, December 2016. It will be a reserve auction, but there's a bit of speculation right now because it's too early. I think we're at too preliminary stage. They're saying it could be at around 1,000 or 1,500 megawatts. We're already working with a lot of our clients. We have high aspirations, and we hope, as always, after that auction to continue to lead the Brazilian market as we have done so far. As for the Mexican auction, the date is now set at the end of September. It seems that the volumes will be closer to 1,500 megawatts than to any other figure. And we're working with our customers on a very significant level of competitiveness for the projects with which we hope to be able to bid. We are also hopeful that wind energy will have an excellent performance and that our customers with our WTGs will be awarded a significant number of megawatts. As usual, after the auction, to continue to maintain our leadership position in the country.
Thank you, Xavier. Let's now move to two questions for our CFO, Ignacio Tasco. First, a comment about the Siemens quality adjustments. Can we explain whether these refer to wind generators that are already installed or to potential costs for WTGs which are in the backlog but which haven't been installed yet?
The answer is that these refer to wind turbines that are already installed, and these quality issues or costs have been corrected, have been identified in terms of their root causes. The corrective measures have been implemented, and what we have done is to quantify the impact on the installed fleet, and the provisions we have are the costs needed to fix the installed WTGs. There's a second question about the merger, about the carve-out of Siemens wind energy assets. How can we control and guarantee the process? Are there some precise milestones that can be verified? And if the adjustments of the carve-out, that 114 standalone million, are separate from the synergies?
Okay, as for how we're going to monitor the carve-out, there's a monitoring committee for the merger, which is following up the carve-out process and monitoring all the adjustments. Also, as we've been saying and explaining, these standalone adjustments, as we've called them, for the carve-out, are guaranteed in the contract with Siemens. They're guaranteed by Siemens for at least 12 months, these adjustments, and so that's guaranteed for Gamesa. And finally, I'll explain that these are not in the synergies. The synergy calculation we have done is completely separate from these carve-out adjustments. So once these have been realized, we've identified the synergies of 213 million euros that we will capture. Thank you very much, Nacho. We're now going to move on to questions from Fernando Lafuente in N+1. First question for Ignacio Martín. Given the improvement in your guidance, do you think you'll be able to increase that 25% payout target?
Well, that's not yet been decided by the board of directors, which might present it as a proposal for resolution to the general shareholders meeting. So nothing has been decided yet.
Thank you, Ignacio. Two questions also from Fernando from N+1 for Ignacio Tasco. What is the cash level you expect to have at the end of the year? And guarantee provisions level was low this quarter, 2.5. In Q1, it was 3.2. Why is it so low now? Is it recurrent? Do you expect it to be lower in the full year?
Well, we haven't issued any guidance for the cash level we expect to have at the end of the year. You will have to do your own calculations for that. With the indications we gave you last year, we finished with 300 million in net cash. We've issued a guidance of working capital over revenues below 2.5%, which we maintain and which we are convinced we will achieve. We've issued guidance for CapEx of 4.5% over revenues. We're growing, and so this CapEx we will invest. And we have a clear target for cash flow generation around our net EBIT, which in times of growth is always more difficult. But overall, with all of these factors, I think you can run through the numbers yourself, Fernando, and come up with a result. But we'll be above 100 million euros in net cash flow generation in the year.
And the provisions?
Yes, the provisions. You have to remember that with our provisions are calculated based on
certain milestone of the project, and so depending on how projects advance at any time, provisions, what that project provisions may have been charged or not, but by the year end we expect to have provisions at approximately 3%, even though we're at 2.5 now, we expect by the end of the year to be at 3%. Thank you very much, Nacho. A question also from NMS1 for Xavier Echevarria. The growing volumes come from any specific region? Well, the increased guidance is not due to any one region, let's say. Growing volumes, the upgraded guidance from 3,800 to over 4,000 megawatts is mostly due to organic growth driven by almost all the regions within our footprint, although clearly our competitive position and a good part of our growth is in regions like India or Latin America, but there is not one particular region which is the main driver of this growth. As we've explained, our geographic diversification means that growth is driven by all of these regions. Thank you, Xavier. There's now three questions from Fukujen, from Citi. All three for Xavier Echevarria. First, the higher capex we are establishing, where are we investing, in which regions? Second question is whether we still expect slightly lower activity in the second half of the year than in the first half. And the final question is, where are we launching the G1142 megawatts turbine, and can we say something about the margin profile for this product? Okay, capex, the investments Gamesa is making now have two basic drivers. One is growth of capacity, and that's in the faster growing regions where we're investing more in order to drive that growth. And the increase in our capex is quite evenly spread out through the different regions. We've made significant investments in countries with high growth rates where we are market leaders, like India, also investing in China, but also in other regions where our sales are growing above market average. And in which regions are we launching the G114 2 megawatt, and what the margin profile is for that turbine? G114 is a completely global product. Currently, the G114 2 megawatt turbine is being launched massively in almost every region. And this year, and possibly already next year, it will represent over 50% of our sales. So that replacing the replacement of the G97 by the G114 has been extremely popular, and the margin or the profitability levels for G114 are in line or actually even higher than the margins we have for other products in our portfolio. Or in other words, the sales prices we are obtaining with the increased generation capacity of the G114 are higher than the higher costs of 114 over 97, which is the machine it's replacing. So the margins are similar, or in fact slightly higher than the model it's replacing, which is the G97. Thank you, Xavier. And as for activity volumes, I will just answer that, as you've heard in the presentation, we expect the level of activity in the second half of the year to continue to be slightly lower than that of the first half. Let's now answer questions from David Boss, Barclays. First question for Ignacio Martín, whether you can explain what the benefits are of combining an onshore business with an offshore business. Well, I'm happy you're asking me this question, because in fact That's something that's been published by someone with some skepticism about the synergies that can be achieved. The onshore and offshore businesses share the same underlying technology, the same customers, the same supplier base pretty much, and as far as in-house manufacturing, the same plants. And ultimately, the improvements that may be achieved in a division can be easily transferred to another. And so the benefits of combining the two activities are obvious in all of the areas we have listed. That is, both in terms of project management, as well as in manufacturing and sales and marketing and so on. Okay, Ignacio, we're going to answer two more questions, in this case for Ignacio Martin from Pinocchi Das from Bank of America. And the first question says, given that we've already reached in the first half a 10.5% EBIT margin, why do we leave the EBIT for the whole year with a margin of 9.5%? Are we expecting some kind of negative impact on the second half of the year? No, it's for no particular reason. As we said, activity levels we expect for the second half of the year are always somewhat lower than those of the first half of the year. And we've also said that there's a mixed effect in the first semester. And like everybody knows, our activity levels, particularly in Q3, tend to be lower with some fixed costs, which are not correspondingly lower. So with all of that, that is why the guidance we're issuing now is 9.5, but it's not because anything particularly negative might happen in the second semester or because there might be some problems. It's just the standard way our activity occurs throughout the year. Okay, and two more questions from Pinaki. And the first is whether the upgrade in the guidance for the year was already present in the negotiations with Siemens, as the first question, and how is the Adwen divestment proceeding? Well, in negotiations with Siemens, which, as everybody knows, were completed with the announcement made in June, the valuation is something that was updated to the very last minute, as always happens, and so the performance that we've had in the current trading in the year was definitely a factor that was taken into account during the negotiations. And in particular, Siemens also has upgraded its guidance quite significantly and its performance in the year. And so all of these elements were taken into account during the negotiations. But I do want to remind you that the valuation of the businesses, what matters, of course, the starting point is important, certainly, but it's much more important to do the cash flow discount, to look at the future of the companies, the pipelines, and how they're going to operate, and the synergies, and so on. Thank you. Two questions more from David Voss from Barclays. Well, actually, I haven't answered that question about Alwyn, the divestment. And just to say that I can't actually give you any information. I'm sorry, Mr. Pinaki, but I can't say anything about how that divestment is going, as you will realize that it's highly confidential, and it is led by Arriva and by contract, and so all I can tell you is that it's ongoing, and there have been offers presented, and as everybody knows, in mid-September, more or less, is when Arriva will have to decide. Thank you very much, Ignacio. Two questions from David Boss from Barclays for Xavier Echeverria. First question is, how do we see growth by regions in 2017? And the second question is, what do we think about the possibility of orders for the 2 megawatt units of Gamesa built in Siemens facilities in the US before the end of 2017 so that customers can include them in 100% of the PTC. Well, the answer as for our outlook for 2017
is optimistic. We feel that the growth will continue in 2017 and beyond, and we're very optimistic about our growth forecast for 2017 and beyond. We can't be more specific in terms of what the specific growth levels will be, and especially not by region, although I can tell you that we expect to grow in all of the regions, possibly with the exception of Brazil, because growth prospects are not particularly clear, nor do we expect activity levels to fall below those of 2016. So in general, we expect growth to remain stable and sustained in all the regions, and flat in maybe in Brazil with respect to the levels of 2016. As for your second question, the announcement about the negotiations between Siemens and Gamesa for the merger, which will be closed over the next month. It was only a month ago that we made the announcement, so it's way too early to know what the exact impact will be on PTC negotiations. But we will continue to work on the bids as we have done until now, and it will take several weeks to understand what the impact of all of this might be on Safe Harbor before the end of the year. Thank you very much, Xavier. One final question from group from Macquarie, and that's about the contribution of India in the second half of the year versus the first half. Will it be higher or lower in the second half of the year? Well, Nacho has explained during his presentation what the percentage of India's contribution to volumes in the first semester was, which was 30%, and we expect that in the second semester it will be similar, between 30 and 35% of the total revenues in the year, which, as we have said in the new guidance, will be at close to 4,000 megawatts. So, in summary, India has brought in 30% in the first semester, and the second semester it will bring in between 30 and 35%, so no significant change from one semester to the next in terms of India's contribution to total Gamesa sales. Thank you very much, Xavier. And now I'm going to give the floor to Ignacio Martín so he can close this presentation. Okay, thank you very much, Christina. As you have seen, this has been a presentation which we can sum up by saying that we have upgraded our guidance for the first time since I've been chair. The second time we changed them, but it's the first time we upgrade them, and that means that the targets that we had set for ourselves in terms of our business strategy and our management strategy are being achieved. That's the first point. And the second point, the merger announcement, what that means, as we've said, in general, the rationale for the transaction, we think, has been well understood and well received by the market and by our investors in general. And I'd just like to underline, so there's no further doubts about how the merger might impact negotiations in the US, I can tell you that the two companies continue to operate individually in terms of sales, so any reactions in markets will be the reactions of the customers who might be influenced by what they know of the mergers. But in the meantime, each company has its own sales and marketing strategy. We are moving forward, we're meeting the milestones so that the merger can be completed and the integration successful. And, well, the sector is growing, moderate growth rates compared to those in the past. Competition levels in the sector and with other renewable energy sources is significant and increasing, but we feel able to manage margins and gradually reduce the cost of energy will be improved with the merger, which was one of the objectives. With that, I'd like to thank you for following this call, and thank you very much.